Hey folks, welcome to the 300th episode of the Hot Zone Podcast.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
I've been having so much fun with this thing that it kind of actually snuck up on me that we're 300 episodes already. I guess that's what happens when you're having fun. That, and of course, we're all watching the whole world go nuts over this whole COVID virus. Well, here's how I've been handling that.
Yep, the guy could do a whole lot worse than this. Surviving the COVID outbreak with a dog at your feet, watching the sunset up on the roof, the beautiful woman at your side, nice bottle of French wine. Yep, I could do a whole lot worse.
Self-quarantine, baby.
This is what I call self-quarantine.
So for more than a year now, I've been bringing you news about areas of crisis around the globe that you're not hearing about in the mainstream media. I've been to more than 24 places in the last year reporting on wars and disasters and all kinds of interesting things, and we've been able to help a lot of people along the way. That's because of our podcast patrons who've been generously sending money to help so that we can give directly to the people who need it the most wherever I happen to go. And we've helped single mothers living on the street in Colombia. We've helped refugees in Syria, persecuted Christians in Nigeria, and a whole lot more all over the last year. Now, if you think about it, this is really amazing. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I'm producing what amounts to be a 15-minute TV show pretty much by myself at least 3 days every week. And it's the kind of thing that should require a pretty good-sized budget and a large staff to pull off. But with the magic of modern technology and a few shortcuts and a lot of hard work, you're getting some pretty quality content, if I do say so myself. So I don't ask this too often anymore, but would you consider sponsoring the podcast by going to patreon.com/hotzone and subscribing? Or if you want your gift to be tax deductible, you can go to victormarks.com/hotzone and donate there. PayPal works as well. Just send your one-time donation to hotzonehalton@gmail.com. hotzonehalton@gmail.com. So there's three ways to do this. You can go to patreon.com/hotzone, patreon.com/hotzone. You can go to victormarks.com/hotzone, or you can go to PayPal and send money to hotzonehalton@gmail.com. We try to take whatever money gets sent and find people who are in desperate need and then let you see exactly what happens to those funds. So for example, today I went to the grocery store here in our little town in Panama and I bought some staple foods that we're going to offer to poor merchants in our town, because a lot of our friends that live here, they're Kuna Indians or poor Panamanians, and they work in the marketplace, and they've seen their income drop to zero as the COVID virus has killed off the tourism that sustains many in this community. There are going to be some hungry folks here if we don't help. So we went and bought rice and beans and canned tuna and things like that. And we also recently donated some funds to our maid's family because although they have very little themselves, they found a little village that's way deep in the Panamanian backcountry, and they wanted to travel in there to help the residents of that forgotten little village. It's like a six-hour horseback ride or something like that, even to get to those people. And we heard there was a little boy there that had cerebral palsy who was suffering terribly and didn't even have a mattress to sleep on. So with some of your contributions, we sent money to help buy a mattress and some other essentials, and then to help our friends get to that remote village with the aid. They prayed with the villagers and sang songs with the kids.
Dios ama lo niñito, a los grandes y a los chicos. Dios ama lo niñito, si le dice ven.
Pretty awesome. So I'll try to keep up on that story and let you know if we get any updates about it. But the bottom line is that there's a little boy who's sleeping more comfortably tonight because of your generosity. So please continue to send help, and we'll keep passing it along to help people in need. Together, this is changing the way that news is done. I mean, this is a different way of doing news. We are absolutely using the magic of modern technology to make news a lot less depressing, because now, instead of just seeing what's wrong with the world, you can reach through this podcast and touch the lives of the people who are being affected by crises around the world. And that's a pretty awesome thing, if you ask me. All right, with the whole world going crazy about this COVID virus, here is some news you probably haven't heard about. The U.S. military on Thursday repatriated what they suspect to be the remains of U.S. service members lost in action in Burma during World War II. The remains from Burma's central region were repatriated at a ceremony at Mandalay International Airport after being recovered on a mission carried out by the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency.
Over 75 years ago, brave Americans gave their lives on the banks of a river in Sagaing, defending the virtues of peace, justice, and freedom so far away from their homes. Today, we take the opportunity to remember them, to reaffirm our commitment to those profound values as we return the possible remains and remember their service and their sacrifice.
We recovered the remains from a location where we know that an American aircraft crashed during World War II. We have photos of the aircraft crashed in that location. The remains were associated with various pieces of aircraft and other material evidence that they are American. And so we're confident that the remains belong to the crew of this aircraft.
Now, these remains will be flown to the agency's laboratory in Hawaii for analysis and potential identification. Believe it or not, there are still 505 U.S. service members unaccounted for in Burma from World War II, which is pretty amazing. The remains of 23 U.S. service members have been identified already after three missions to Burma by this agency that have been carried out since 2013. Now, on a more sober note, there was a massive explosion in Nigeria's commercial district in Lagos, the capital of Nigeria, that flattened more than 50 buildings on Sunday. They say that at least 15 people have been killed. They're not really sure because some people are still trapped in the rubble. And that massive explosion was heard several miles away.
My brother, this is a Black Sunday. We have never seen the magnitude of disaster or tragedy since the school, you know, got established by the Lagos Archdiocese of Catholic Archdiocese of Lagos. This morning, at about after nine in the morning, I got an alert where after my church service in Mafuluku, then the school was on fire. I initially thought it was maybe electrical spark, and there was a stampede. When I got here, what I saw was too enormous for me to describe. The school is flattened. There's no more school here anymore.
Among the buildings that were destroyed was a girls' school, a Bethlehem Girls College is called. And so they were pulling injured children out of the rubble. Absolutely horrific. As you know, I was in Lagos last year in August and was interviewing persecuted Christians and doing some reporting from that country, which is really under siege from Boko Haram from the north, and a lot of corruption in that country, unbelievable amount of corruption. And that may have had something to do with this explosion, because there are a lot of oil pipelines nearby. There's a lot of people tapping into those things to try to steal the oil. So they don't know at this point if this explosion was caused by terrorism, somebody putting a bomb on the oil pipelines, or people tapping in trying to steal the oil, or something else. They really don't know. The death toll is expected to rise because they're still pulling people out of the rubble. And this is definitely the worst disaster of this kind in Nigeria since 2002, when they had an explosion at an old arms depot of military ammunition and stuff like that that blew up and killed over 1,000 people. Just think about that. Imagine if that happened in the United States. These are souls. And for some reason, we hear about this stuff overseas and it doesn't really affect us. But can you just imagine if there was an explosion that flattened 50 buildings in Philadelphia or Baltimore or someplace like that? This would be major news for quite some time. But you probably didn't hear anything about it on the mainstream media because it's wall-to-wall coverage of the COVID virus right now. And although that's a big story, there are lots of other things happening in the world. And that's why this podcast exists. We're trying to bring you some of those things from around the world. And now, to celebrate the 300th episode of the podcast, I just wanted to go back and show you a little montage of some of the places that we've been and some of the people we've been able to help over the last year, because it is truly astounding all the places that I've gone and all the news that I've made and brought to you on this podcast. Check it out.
So I'm just outside of Tapachula in southern Mexico.
7 missiles fired from Iran came and landed, 2 of them in this compound.
That I heard Doug from behind me say, "I'm dying, I've been hit." I looked back only to see him covered in blood. I got out of the vehicle, guns were pointed at me, and I just prayed and just said thank you, you know, thinking this was my last few moments on earth and that, you know, I was hoping that God would show some mercy on me.
So we're back in the camp at Benitas, and a new group has just arrived.
So I wanted to know what it's like to be a conservative in the most liberal city in America here in San Francisco, so I figured probably the best place to do that would be to talk to some Republicans.
Right here behind me are thousands of migrants in a little facility that the Border Patrol had to construct underneath the bridge to Juarez, Mexico.
The video you sent and photos, man, first of all, thank you for putting yourself on the line once again, Chuck. You're far more than a reporter, man. You're a warrior.
Okay, so we talk about this on the podcast all the time, that I want to help you not only understand the news, but I want to help you make the news and make it better. And so here we are. We just got to Cúcuta, Colombia. Okay, and I met a woman on the plane who missed her flight, so she's stuck here in Cúcuta. So it's such a simple thing to fix this problem. It's about $18 to get them a room for the night down close to the border. It's another 10 or so to get them a taxi. So for $28 or $30, we can save them from having to sleep on the street tonight, or who knows what they'd have to do. So that's what we're gonna do.
Bleeding out of your eyeballs, internal organs turning to mush, Ebola. It's not a pretty way to go. On the ground in Syria, covering the last days of the ISIS caliphate.
Go. This is the first time I said I forgive ISIS. That's God's work in my heart.
All right, so there's a lot of politicians who say that the U.S. border is as secure and as safe as it's ever been, and there's no need for any kind of a barrier more than we have right now. Well, I'm currently in northern Mexico, right on the U.S. southern border, and I'm going to cross into the United States right now. And I want to show you just how quickly I can do this. Just how quick can I get over the border? Here I am, and I'm in the United States, just like that.
Empty.
But people are not.
Come on, man.
Come on, ma'am.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. This reconnaissance we're doing of the frontline area here just south of Saracanilla shows that this YPG position is surrounded on 3 sides at the moment by the Free Syrian Army, off to the west, to the north, and to the east. But they're not quite as worried about being attacked from those positions as they are about indirect fire. That's mortars and artillery, because they just had a round land back behind them. And they don't know if that's like a reconnaissance by fire or if the enemy's actually bracketing them to try to bomb this target. The other thing we have to worry about is what we can hear overhead right now, and that's the Turkish drones circling, looking for a target.
This is the public dock in Turbo, and this boat behind me is full of migrants that are headed to a place called Capargana. It's the last spot inside Colombia, and from there they will start their walk. Most of them have no idea what they're about to face.
Right now I'm flying over Mexico Beach, and they say it looks like it's been bombed.
The U.S. Border Patrol used existing funding that was authorized under the Obama administration to recently build about 4 miles of this bollard-style fencing.
Here on the Colombian side of the border, you can see there's an incredible marketplace and lots of fruits and vegetables and everything for sale.
However, I happened to get talking to a few of the guys. Amazingly, one of them spoke English. He was from Boston. And he said, no, we're Assyrian Christians. He said, we've got Muslims here too, but we've got a lot of Assyrian Christians. We're fighting for our homeland.
I am definitely not in the worst part of town trying to pick up prostitutes. I'll explain on this episode of The Hot Zone.
All right, folks, that's all we've got for the podcast today. Thanks for being a part of it. And I hope that you guys just have some downtime. Just have a good time. Just being with your family, kind of self-isolating a little bit. And if you don't have a view like this, well, I'm sorry. But this is what I'm going to be enjoying as long as I can. And I just want to encourage you, keep watching and keep supporting the podcast. We're going to help a lot more people. We appreciate you watching. Thanks for being a part of it.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.